Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and we are live from the Sanford Fieldhouse, and we are all about the Sanford Sports Science Institute and the National Scholastic Athletics Foundation Performance Clinics here. Nate Weck got to go out and talk with some javelin throwers. One young woman from Omaha.
Yeah, she's, and she'll say it too, but she's from Buffett Middle School, and what a great kid, and to see a kid that's that young and that determined to succeed was really cool. So yeah, here we go. This is my conversation with Sophia from Omaha. I'm joined with Sophia right now. She's a seventh grader at Buffett Middle School. Sophia, what's going on out here today at Howard Wood Field?
We're practicing target throwing instead of just throwing out into a field, because that really gets you focused on not just power throwing it somewhere and giving you a power focal point.
What are some things that you're learning out here today?
I need to keep my left arm closed so that I can really work on power through my right arm.
Sophia, you know, it seems like there's a lot more to javelin than what I think a lot of people see if they watch the Olympics or if they're at a track and field event. What got you interested in this? It doesn't seem like something that, you know, you see on a regular basis. So what really drew your interest to want to do this?
My dad was a college coach at UNO, and I was like 4 years old, and he was like, why don't we just try this as a fun sport? And I ended up really liking it and advancing really far.
How would you say you've grown with javelin so far in your young career?
Well, my coach Patty and Bianca, they really helped me get far. They have a bunch of connections to get me into nationals and regionals and help me advance as much as I possibly can.
Being in an event like you are today, a clinic where you're working with professionals who have had success in this exact event, what does that mean to a young athlete like yourself and to all the other young athletes that are out here today?
It's really inspiring. I mean, like, it shows you how hard you can work, and if you work hard enough, you can get really far in life.
How about that?
4 years old.
4 years old.
Okay, what were you doing when you were four, Nate?
I wasn't even playing video games yet.
All right. Well, joining us now at the broadcast table at the Sanford Fieldhouse is Tom Puckstis, and a six-time U.S. Javelin champion, two-time Olympian. Thanks for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for welcoming us back to Sioux Falls.
So, 4 year old, is that a little young to be throwing the javelin, or is that about when it starts?
If you're having fun, you can do anything at whatever age. So as long as she's enjoying herself, but if she's being forced to train, that would be really bad. We would like her to just enjoy it, because javelin is pretty fun. It's throwing something. And when you see a javelin fly, it is pretty to watch. It floats. It's like a little bit like watching an airplane. Today we were at Howard Wood. All these fighter planes are taking off and airplanes are taking off, and every single one of us pause and stare at the airplanes taking off for a moment. Javelin throwing is a little bit like that, only that it's self-powered. So it's kind of interesting. It's very intriguing.
So talk a little bit about the target throwing part of it, because is that usually what you're doing?
Well, no. So people think that you just run up and throw it any old way. And in order for the javelin to fly correctly, because it is a long spear, it's a shaft, it's about 7 or 8 feet long, weighs a little less than 2 pounds, you have to actually throw it correctly, like you would throw a paper airplane. You can't just throw a paper airplane any old way or crooked or sideways. You have to make it fly and so it floats smoothly, just like a javelin, only you do it with more ferocity when you're older and competing. So we try to teach people the efficient flight so they can maximize their potential without having to gain access to anger, power, or energy. And when you target throw, it allows you to focus in on hitting the javelin smoothly and cleanly and making an accurate throw. It's not so different than, for example, I remember being taught to break a board as a young man in karate. You don't just hit the top of the board, you actually strike through deep beyond the board. You look past it and follow through the board, and it breaks if you do it those things. And so similar to javelin throwing, we teach them to go through a focal point and to a target and try to finish off the throw, and they throw better.
Now, talk a little bit about the actual arm movement and the power. The power, is it in the shoulder? Is it in the hips? Where's your power?
So, great question. So the difference is between baseball, which everybody sees. Javelin throwing is a little bit like golf in an overarm type action. So it's a longer radius effort. It takes a longer throw, a longer arm motion. The elbow by itself can't handle the pressure of a hard throw with a 2-pound implement. So we try to incorporate the legs and the core. If you are able to go through a sequence through your body, like a hitter in baseball or a golfer, and you have a long fluidity to your throw, you're far more susceptible to success and not injuries, and that's what we're trying to teach. So we're trying to make sure that we don't have injured throwers. We'd rather have, even if we miss out on a little bit of power, we'd rather have success through efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Nate.
You know, Tom, with... You know, you mentioned golf and you mentioned some of the other sports. You know, with these other sports too, if you start developing a bad habit, technique, it's not going to work the way you want it to. I'm assuming javelin is the same way.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So we will get throwers, for example, that are taught, you know, let's say a bent arm. If you could imagine a pitcher throwing a baseball, they cock their arms up, it's bent. But once they start to drive their legs and hips, the arm stretches out and then you fire the ball. Well, imagine, if you were swinging a golf ball or at a golf club and you brought your arms towards your body in the middle of the swing, it really wouldn't work if you can imagine that. I think most people could imagine that. So in javelin, if you were to drop your arm and use your elbow, it's 100% chance you'll hurt your elbow. So usually we have someone who has not been taught these basics about being a long, fluid thrower. It's all we did this morning, actually. We spent the whole time trying to teach long, fluid actions and not short, quick ones.
Yeah, and one quick follow-up that too, Tom, you know, slowing it down, we talked about that with triple jump, and it's the same exact thing that you guys were doing with javelin, because there would be times where kids were just holding their arms out trying to just get that form down of what it's supposed to feel like, and you were kind of going around and correcting. There's some other individuals there too that were walking around and trying to fix some of that posture and stuff like that, but you really do have to slow it down for these kids in javelin as well.
Yeah, we have to teach them to crawl before we can let them sprint, you know. So we're being a little cautious. We'll open it up and light it up, but we have 3 days, so we have time.
So you don't just give them and say, "Go, show me what you got."
No, I think that's really dangerous if you let that happen. Then you're not even giving them any information to work with. You're just letting them fly, and then you're having to then slow them down. I would rather start them slowly and let them build up. So at the end of the workout, we let them throw far, and some of them threw really well.
Define far at this age level.
Well, we have multiple age levels, so basically high school and older. We have a couple of college kids. Not with competitive ferocity, as if you were shooting a free throw in basketball, something that you can repeat 100 times in a row. So we allow them to throw at an energy level that they can reproduce. And if they go beyond that, mistakes occur or an injury can pop up. So we're very careful. So we let them throw far with efficiency and not anger and competitive spirit, but just an energetic type of action. And they ended up throwing very well because they were efficient. It's like having finesse. There's an artistic component to javelin. People think, how hard is it to just run up and throw? It's not hard to just run up and throw, but it's really hard to run up and throw 102% of your skills, abilities in front of 50,000 people and be perfect in so many different areas, and then put it all together and still connect. It's a lot more difficult than meets the eye. Mm-hmm. So if you try to understand how that would be, take the average golfer or baseball player and then prop them up on television in front of 3 million people and see how he hits the golf ball in front of every 20,000 people mm-hmm. watching when they're standing 3 feet from you. A professional laughs at this situation because they've done it a million times. It's no big deal. They're used to it. An amateur would be frightened out of their wits and would maybe not even connect on the ball.
Javelin's not really in every high school.
19 now. We're working to get to 21 high schools. 21 states will throw next year. Florida adopted it, and I think South Carolina's next.
Okay. But so then your athletes are coming from all over, some with different intentions. I'm not sure if it's even – is it even in Nebraska?
No. That's at the – Junior Olympic level, AAU, junior rankings, youth track and field, youth athletics, grassroots levels will have the ability to get a javelin throw done.
Okay.
Well, so Sophia then, being from Nebraska and stuff like this, I mean, she's really going out of her way to perfect her skills and be successful at this.
I mean, this is a significant investment in resources. You're asking someone to drive you or fly you to South Dakota, hotel room, food for 3 days, and the cost of the camp. It was beyond my reach as a young man. My parents couldn't afford it.
You got to want it, right?
You got to want it. So you have to show some desire, and then resources have to be there, which is, I feel this pressure as the coach or the director. I know that people invest a lot, so we're trying to deliver. I mean, we're really trying to deliver an Olympic level worthy project or camp. And what helps is when you're here at a place, not a university, but a setting like this, Samford set us up pretty well with facilities, the atmosphere, the facilities at Howard Wood. Sioux Falls has, you know, been welcoming for 2 years now, or 3 years. This is our third year. We can do a much better job when we have a backing like this, way better.
So earlier we heard about Project Triple Jump. Is the javelin the same kind of thing, and you're pairing together? Do you pair together everywhere? Or?
No, we go our separate ways depending upon our needs, but it just so happens that Samford and the athletic complex here is allowed or open to both events. We can both equally train high performance levels at these facilities. But generally our fall clinic, they go to Cuba, and we're going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. And in February, we're at Louisiana State University at LSU. And they are...
Well, they're going to be in Alabama, but then they'll be in Cuba.
Oh, they'll be in Alabama with us in the fall, and then in Cuba in February. I made a mistake on that. So when we're at LSU, they're in Cuba.
Okay. And so talk a little bit. We just have about four minutes left. So talk a little bit about... the athlete themselves and really what you look for as a coach from clinic to clinic.
Javelin throwing requires speed. You have to run up, you have to be able to jump, and you have to be able to throw. So you're organizing all these skill sets into performance for maximum throwing power. And so when you have the world's best javelin throwers around, it's kind of shocking their level of abilities, how they would match up to other professional sports. I would favor the javelin athlete when it comes to a pure performance level. Like, what can you come up with? Strength, speed, agility. They'll produce some shocking numbers at the elite level. It's very high level.
So, now, the other guys would have said the triple jumpers were the better athlete.
I don't know. Well, they're definitely, they'll be faster, but they'll be better athletes at 180 pounds. But when you're 235 pounds, as a male javelin thrower might be, I wouldn't want to get into that argument. That's why they don't let heavyweight fighters box against flyweight fighters.
There you go.
It's a one-punch fight.
Okay, go ahead, Nate.
Tom, I do have to ask here, since you are a two-time Olympian, and you know you're training kids to be at that, you know, who are striving one day to potentially be at that level. You talked about how some people can compete when there's not 50,000 people in the stands watching, and there's not millions watching at home. How does that transition over for a professional athlete like you, where you are able to get a hold of that mentality to deal with those big crowds and those big stages?
I learned how to handle pressure, and then I learned to enjoy it. And then I learned that I didn't even want to compete unless I had pressure. So unless there's 50,000 people watching and money and my achievements are on the line, I don't get even excited. So I learned how to become better under pressure over time. So I enjoy it. I don't mind being in the heat of the kitchen when it's time. My nervous system and brain capacity at this point in time would never handle it at this advanced stage I'm at. Right. So my role is to first teach these younger generation athletes to really enjoy what they're doing, because I had so much fun being an athlete that I can't even describe it. Nothing compares. Just to be an internationally capable athlete was so appealing. Just fun. Sounds, colors, people, places, things are just, it's hard to beat in normal life. I have a great normal life, but it's really special to be an athlete. Now I want those kids to enjoy some of those feelings and sensations too. And if they get to the big game, I'll be there for them.
Awesome. Well, what a great way to end. I want to thank you very much for taking time and being here today and for working with these athletes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, and thanks for Sioux Falls to supporting us and welcoming us. It's been great.